Music is my life, brother. Music feed me. And music put me out of any problem. Every time I have a hard time in my life, the only thing that gives me peace, tranquility, is sit down in the piano, close my eyes, and just play.
Welcome to Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride. The Cuban pianist Omar Sosa is a man of paradox. If you go to his page on a music streaming service, you'll find his most popular songs are controlled, contemplative. They almost have a new age kind of vibe. This could reflect Omar's deep spiritual life. On the other hand, Omar, he likes a rambunctious party, spontaneous musical celebrations.
Figure out a way to generate some energy together.
He's a capital I improviser. Try putting some sheet music in front of him. He'll likely shoo it away.
I don't play bebop. I don't play straight ahead. I basically don't even know any standards. But I say I'm a jazz musician because of the philosophy of jazz. Jazz is freedom.
On a special night, he might jump on the piano, literally, and play with his feet.
The energy it will receive is going to tell us what is the next step.
Omar lives in this magical place of dynamic opposites, bounded together under one spiritual tradition that comes from Cuba called Santería. This is Omar's world.
I received the message from my spirit and my ancestors in light. And the only thing I do is translate this.
Let's start this program by letting Alegua in. We'll explain what that means later. This is Alegua in the Road. Thank you. Yes, that's Omar Sosa playing outside, inside, and all around the piano with Gustavo Ovais, percussion. From Omar's recording, Ayaguna. Recorded live at Motion Blue in Yokohama, Japan. Omar Sosa's name doesn't come up much compared to other contemporary jazz pianists. That's because his career path was never a straight one, or one that could be easily categorized.
They categorize you, they put in a box, you are a Latin jazz musician.
Or he's a Cuban piano player.
Yeah, I'm a Cuban piano player, and in the same time, I'm a percussion player who loves to play piano.
Omar's career can be divided into two distinct halves, before and after moving to America. When he decided to move to San Francisco, he was already 30 years old. His music career was going pretty well. His personal life, you could say, even better. He was living with his wife in the Mediterranean, on a Spanish island.
I remember I was in the house in Mallorca. We would rent a good house. What I did was stay in Mallorca. But I got this idea in my mind, I want to go to America to record. Kind of bothering me.
Omar's desire to come to America, it was overwhelming.
This is what I was thinking every second, to record my record, to record my record. Man, I applied for a visa, and I forget I was applied for the visa. And one day, we got a note who say, your visa is approved, but you have only 2 days to enter in America if not your visa expire. And I said, we have 2 days. I said, okay, I'm ready. We buy the ticket, and I arrive to America, to San Francisco, no English. My English is still bad. Now what's gonna happen?
I put a Musicians Wanted ad in SF Weekly.
That's Scott Price. He's the man responsible for the ad.
Looking for some Latin jazz cats for my tenor saxophone friend Steve Deutsch. The day that hit, Omar and his then second wife got off a plane and called me. We invited Omar to come over near Lake Merritt in Oakland, and he did, all by himself, and he sat down at the piano, and Steve and I were like, wow.
This is close to what it sounded like. This is Angustia with Tumbao.
Thank you.
Pustia with Tumbao from Omar Omar, solo piano from 1996, recorded in Scott Price's living room. To say Omar made an impression, well, that would be an understatement.
What alien has just appeared here? Steve and I were both stunned. Omar didn't speak a word of English. I didn't speak a word of Spanish, nor did my friend Steve. But this was the very first thing Omar did when he got off the plane. And he agreed to some local gigs with Omar on piano. Omar said, sure, I'll play with you. Omar recorded on Steve's album, and it was a remarkable thing.
This day also marked a new beginning for Scott, one that would change his life forever.
I was able to invest in Omar's career, just focus on his music and nothing else.
Scott became Omar's manager and record producer right there on the spot. Now dig that. Omar found a new gig, a new band, a manager, a record producer who sets up Omar's label. He found this guy on his first day in America. Now remember, recording was his dream. Now that's a good omen if I've ever heard one.
There's no contract, there's no lawyers. His entire being is wired to his intuition. It's been a 28-year adventure, still going strong.
You could say that Omar hit the jackpot. However, he might tell you there's something more cosmic at play.
When something needs to happen to you, it will happen. Because we are all connected in one way or another.
Let's hear some more music. Harit from Omar Sosa's album Suba. Omar Sosa piano, Sekou Keita choral and vocals, Gustavo Ovais percussion. In just a moment, it's music and the cosmos. Omar's uncle has a dream, a vision. It would change the pianist's life forever. When Jazz Night in America returns, I'm Christian McBride. Welcome back to Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride. Omar Sosa's early life in Cuba had some charm, but not like you would think. He grew up in a middle-class home in the late 60s and 70s. His mother was a telex operator. His father, a school administrator.
My main instrument was a classical percussion.
His parents recognized his musical talent, sending Omar to a top music conservatory in Havana. But there was no jazz, no rock, not even Cuban folkloric music. That music was prohibited, only classical music, and lots of it. Omar didn't even get to choose the instrument he played.
even today in Cuba, we have a lot of problem with instrument. And I remember I was telling my teacher, oh, I would like to play marimba and vibraphone and xylophone. How we can do some opposition in the symphony and actually in the opera. And my teacher told me, Omar, I'm sorry, but you're going to have a hard time because I'm the guy who played there. And it's only one chair. So you need to wait until I die for you to be there. And I say, okay, if my teacher told me this, nothing I can do. I need to figure out a way to play music.
So he chose the piano. He felt a strong connection to it. But calling himself a pianist didn't seem quite right.
I'm a percussion player who loves to play piano.
This idea is also branded in the title of a new documentary film, Omar Sosa's 88 Well-Tuned Drums.
The funny thing here is I never studied piano.
Percussion, primarily, yeah. Right?
The film shows Omar's life after graduating. His prospects of becoming a musician in Cuba were dim at best.
At the request of the Angolan president, Fidel sent 36,000 troops to
make ends meet. Omar joined the Cuban military, but then found himself in the middle of a proxy war with the United States. When he was brought to Angola to perform for the troops, he remembers being caught in the middle of a gunfight.
We listened. It was normal in the world. It was for us.
Things got so bad in Cuba, he described living on the streets, hungry, and too prideful to come home to his parents. Omar was left with no choice but to find opportunities elsewhere. However, he did have one life experience near where he grew up, which he would take with him forever.
It was in my 20s, maybe 23, 24, I was in Havana. My uncle in the other side of the island, he got a dream, vision, and he was saying, I need Omar to go to this address.
His uncle gave Omar no information about this specific address. He didn't know the residents or the people that lived there. Yet he insisted Omar must go there.
He don't even know what's going to happen. He just told me, go to this address. The house I supposed to go was three blocks from where I was living that time.
Omar followed his uncle's orders, even though it sounded odd.
I went. Crazy place.
The building looked like kind of war-torn, blown-out cement building with kind of an open air, you know, from five floors up because the wall wasn't there.
Omar's manager, Scott Price.
There was no toilet. The conditions, it was abject poverty.
I went up first floor and I knocked the door. When somebody opened the door, he was a big man, huge, big. He was dressing really poor, you know, basically no shoes. But his energy, his vibe, his presence, I say, well, you know, I come here because my uncle has got a dream. I don't know. He told me, yes, I was waiting for you.
This is Moradia de Babalao, House of the Priest. Thank you. That was Maradia de Babalao, House of the High Priest. This was where Omar stood in front of this big stranger.
I was waiting for you.
Meet Omar's new godfather, his padrino in Santeria, who was expecting his arrival.
I was in shock. My uncle, mi tío, how we know this was the person? He met my godfather years later. We went to his little room. He was living there, and he told me, okay, sit down there. He started to read about July, you know, his religion work. I don't come from a really religion family. For me, it was impressive because, you know, I was for a family with no tradition in that kind of Afro-Cuban tradition. I basically never talk about this. I can describe this. It's out, I don't say too much. They read what the Orisha says. The present, past, and future. I know how I'm going to die, brother. I really experienced that connection with the ancestor of the Supreme Force, or whatever you want to call that energy. Few months later, I got the first initiation. He told me, you have a mission. And that time, I don't have a clue what was the mission. He told me, you need to be a voice of the African tradition through your music and your art. A week later, I started to connect with African sounds in the world.
This is Rojo Chango from Omar Sosa's recording, Sentir.
Okay. Yo si, Chango.
Rojo Chango by Omar Sosa. When Jazz Night in America returns, Omar has a date with destiny. He gets scouted out by one of the world's greatest living composers. I'm Christian McBride. Around the year 2002, the Cuban pianist Omar Sosa settled into his new life in the United States. His discography steadily growing. He was a local treasure in the Bay Area, but outside of the Bay, he was still unknown. However, his arrow was pointing up. He landed a huge gig, a Rockefeller grant, to compose a work at San Francisco's Yerba Buena Center for the Arts. Scott Price.
Omar was commissioned to write a work in three movements for a full symphony orchestra. First time he had ever been asked to do that, first time he ever thought about doing that, first time that he ever did it.
He performed his original work called From Our Mother. Then, something truly remarkable happened.
Unbeknownst to us, John Adams' son was at the show and had raved to his father about it.
John Adams is a giant in modern classical music, one of the heaviest cats around. He was secretly checking out Omar's music behind the scenes.
I got a call directly from John Adams out of the blue.
He told me. My manager, well, I have the commission to curate the opening of a Sanke Hall in the Carnegie Hall. And I want Omar open that venue, Sanke Hall in the Carnegie Hall. And I told Scott, are you sure? Yeah, maybe he make a mistake. Maybe he got a wrong number.
I was just completely flabbergasted because, yeah, for me, John Adams was this kind of mythical figure.
This guy's a genius. The way he writes music is so perfect. What he found in me.
John Adams was struck by Omar's harmonic sense and the freedom with which he approached his harmonic creations.
I say, wow, if this man say this, wow, I cannot have better compliment.
It was the evening of September 12th, 2003, the opening of Zanko Hall. Omar arrived at the theater.
We call in Cuba like a countryman arrived to the big city. It's like a kid in the candy store. I remember to have like 20 pianos, 20 piano chairs. What I remember, I tried to pick up one and I say, I'm sorry, this is not possible because this is the chair belong to some piano, some musician. And I said, wow.
It felt like a cultural moment. The state-of-the-art concert hall was sold out. John Adams opened with the first set. Then it was Omar's turn.
The vast majority of the audience had no clue what was about to approach them.
Omar came to the stage in his typical Santeria attire, all white, loose-fitting linens, an African-style head wrap, and a red and black scarf. He carried a lit candle and set it on the Steinway D.
The production staff at Carnegie Hall watched in horror as Omar, you know, sat down at the piano with his candle because, yeah, the fire code, the fire marshals.
Nothing to worry about. Omar's done this before. He snapped his scarf twice on each side of the piano.
Red and black, they're Elegua.
Elegua is one of the principal deities in the Yoruba pantheon, and he's a child trickster god.
Whatever you do, any ceremony, you need to feed him before, for him to open the road, to open the path. I let him know we are here to receive the message.
What occurred that night at Carnegie was one for the ages. What you're hearing now, this is not the live recording from Carnegie. That would have been too perfect. It's another Omar recording with roughly the same band around the same time.
The band was on fire. Omar jumped up at one point and played a couple of beats with his foot, you know, standing on the piano bench.
Brother, this is what I tell you. Sometimes when you are in a sort of dementia, you cannot relate what happened.
Lines of separation, 6 degrees. Here it is, philosophies of no envoy. I employ, employer, conversation, occupation. I adore, but still it can't be avoided. It might be paranoid with the things that change, seasons always remain the same. Dialect, dialectical conflicts, conflicts, convex. My vision might be, but my prism still ends up me. Is this the beginning or is the end, the alpha or omega? Is it the beginning or the zen win? Will I find out the truth?
We was on trance. We was on trance. All of us, the power and the level of spirituality, it kind of get hold of Karen. Everybody.
The funny thing is, Omar barely remembers any of it. For those in the audience, it was impossible to forget.
Suddenly, Omar was a thing.
Stand at the gate.
He had been featured in this huge photo in the New York Times, standing, you know, on the keyboard at Carnegie Hall. You couldn't dream anything more sensational. and we got it.
You know what? This is the moment I love the most in my life. Yet when things like this happen, I feel my spirits and my ancestors, and the spirits are there.
Yes, this is Omar's world. But now the world knew Omar too.
Or is it an illusion?
Let's continue and conclude with this live recording, Dime Un Tiempo, produced by Radio Bremen 2000.
Thank you.
might be a change. Change, rearrange, rearrange my mind, change my sayings. Like the Congo, the sound of the beats and trebles, face percussion, percussion rushing into beginning to the ending. Don't know where it's gonna end, but still transcend. Spiritual essence sin. This like postal service, moving swift, never swerve this. Here it is, getting no nervous. No need for me to be nervous. Stop speech, the freedom, impeach the president. Extend when I come with styles, relentless. Bless who it is, this when the time to manifest. Do you want me to continue moving on the line when I send you to the venue? I see you coming, calling me. It's like the beginning of life, right? We're new to styles, we move to the insight. Sometimes I don't know, but still be lifted spiritually. It's the same thing, only a new package. It's the same thing, only a new package, a new era. History repeating itself, history remaking itself, history speaking again loud and clear. What's past is prologue, if you can hear, and if you can't, just don't rant, don't rave, don't misbehave, just turn and walk down the pavement one step after the other, and you will get to the crossroads.
Medley of Alegua and Dime Un Tiempo, live in Bremen 2000. Omar Sosa, piano, percussion, and vocals. Sheldon Brown reeds. Jeff Brennan on bass. Gustavo Ovalles, percussion, and Elliot Cave on drums. Jazz Night in America is a production of WBGO Studios and NPR Music. This week's episode was written and produced by Simon Rentner with help from Sarah Gilletti and Trevor Smith. Episode mix, Ron Scalzo. Check out Omar Sosa's appearance on NPR's Tiny Desk Concert. Our team includes Nikki Birch and Mitra Arthur. Executive producer, Stephen A. Williams. Saraya Muhammad is the executive producer of NPR Music. Keith Jenkins is the vice president of visuals and strategy at NPR Music. I'm Christian McBride.